Well, what we're going to do is we're going to continue on with the Advent series. This is the last week of that. We are in the topic of, or on the topic of love. And so you can go ahead into the next slide. We've covered peace, hope, and joy. And this is the last one with love. And yeah, normally there's four candles that are lit, one for each week covering each topic. And this is coming from the Bible Project. They did it was actually under the title of a word study, and it's the Advent series. And the whole point of the Advent series is when we're observing the first coming of God as man in the form of Jesus, and also while we're looking forward to his return. And that's sort of what the Advent is to remember these things and also to look forward with anticipation to the next arrival. I'm just going to do a quick review of each one of these topics before we do love. And if you remember peace, there was two words. We looked at shalom in the Hebrew and eirene in the Greek. And it's kind of a weird word in the sense that we think of peace as being the absence of conflict versus the Hebrew and the Greek meaning is more of a word of, or it can be a word where they use it like a stone has shalom, meaning if there's nothing cut off of that stone, if it's a complete stone. And that really starts to add to this word peace as far as what it is that, or who Jesus was when he came as the Prince of Peace, meaning the one who isn't just removing conflict, but he's completing something. So it says the apostles claimed that Jesus made peace, or he completed the between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness. So there's that word shalom, restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. So yeah, maybe you remember that, and I have one verse with that, which is Romans 5. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So that completeness. And then we talked about hope, and we said that, you know, fortune-telling business is booming during the pandemic. People want to have some hope. And so we talked about, well, what is hope? And there's two ideas happening in hope. And you're going to see a lot of these interconnect. And Tim Mackey said it's two things happening. It's looking forward by looking backward. Right? So we look forward with hope or anticipation by looking backward as to what God has done. And that's what gives us hope in circumstances that don't look hopeful. Right? That's why the fortune-telling business is booming, because it doesn't look very hopeful. So how do we handle that? And Psalm 39:7 says, and so, Lord, where do I put my hope? In tarot cards? What is it? And it says, no, my only hope is in you. And that's the other thing. This is hope based on an individual. The individual being God/Jesus. And then joy. One other thing we talked about last week was, you know, Americans' mental health rating sinks to a new low. And we saw there was only one group that was showing a positive mental health over the last year, and that was those who regularly attend church, which kind of got buried in that study. So biblical faith offers a unique perspective on joy. It is an attitude that God's people adopt, not because of happy circumstances, but because their hope in God's love and promises. So you're going to see a common theme here, and that is this idea that we can't just hope circumstances make our lives good. Again, especially this year, it's making it real clear. Circumstances may not be good, but we're still called to have hope, faith, joy, and love. Okay, we're still called to have those. So we can't just let circumstances do that. And that's where we would say we have those things by trusting, as it says here, in God's love and his promises. Or as we said with hope, by looking backward to look forward. Okay, so this week we're on to the topic of love. And so I'll go through this and yeah, we'll swing around and try to make some points here. So the first thing that the Bible Project started off with was, what was Jesus's most famous teaching? So if I asked you, or even someone who isn't a believer, you ask them, you know, what's Jesus's most famous teaching? A lot of them would maybe say, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, right? The golden rule is kind of what, oh, you don't think so? What would you guess?
His greatest teaching, I think, was his command to love one another.
Okay. I didn't even plant him in the audience. That was perfect. He said, the greatest command is to love one another, which is actually the next slide, because the golden rule is actually based on that idea. In Mark 12:31, we see that love your neighbor as yourself is really what do unto others is connected to. Again, the golden rule is kind of one of those general sayings that seem to be somewhat familiar with people. But it, like Jim said, it's based on love your neighbor as yourself. So let's go ahead and look at that in a little more detail. So first of all, what does Jesus mean by love? And that's a good question. And part of the problem is love is a really, I don't know how to say it, overused term. I love in the video it said, you know, you can say that you love pizza and you can say you love your mom, but if those words mean the same, then your mom might feel kind of sad that she only rates up with pizza. Although, to me, that's a pretty high rating. But still, we use love all the time. And is that what Jesus meant? And the other thing is this. We often base it on a feeling. And there's a lot of times I don't feel like loving someone or something. And so how do we navigate that? So the first thing is, it's not what we see in the Hallmark movies or shows or whatever. And I know it's really weird. Okay, so I'm sure if you know the Hallmark station is probably playing at your house to some degree. They're great to fall asleep to because the theme is pretty consistent, right? It's like these two polar opposites. Then they start to, you know, they're usually isolated on some spot because of snow, storm, and then they end up falling in love, and that's the Hallmark movie. And you may be saying you're denying that you watched this, but I did quick research, and it's actually the number one entertainment program in what was that? I think it was in November or December. So, yeah, you're watching it along with everybody else. Okay. The problem with that is that's not the biblical picture for love. And that's what can mess us up, because you're going to see several commands to love and you're just going to be like, well, I know, I don't feel like that Hallmark movie. It's not happening for me. And that's because we don't have the deep meaning of love, which is based on the Greek word agape, which you may have heard because there's even some churches that have picked up that name. And it's, you know, it's a good use of the name based on what agape means. So let's look into this a little bit. So Jesus was asked, what was the most important command in the Jewish scripture? So you may remember this section. It's in Mark, right where we were quoted before. And so it says, so he asked, which is the Jewish leader, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, and so Jesus starts reciting the Shema right here, and he says, the most important command is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And then he switches gears and says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That was from Deuteronomy. And then he says, the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And that was taken out of Leviticus, if I remember correctly. So the problem is this. He was asked, of all the Hebrew commands, which one is the most important? And he says, love your God or love your neighbor. So the question is, well, which one is it? He asked for the most. And Jesus' reply was, yes. And that yes was supposed to be over. It got altered. But anyway, the answer is yes. Okay, listen, my plate's been a little full the last couple days. I didn't have a chance to preview it before because I'm trying to get the songs down. All right, anyway, enough excuses. I should have done it. The answer is yes. And that starts to, again, so now we're starting to see a richer meaning of the word love. Okay, so stick with me here. Let's see if we can get through this. So your love for God will be expressed by your love for people. I have to tell you, and there's verses that talk directly to this in 1 John. I don't like these verses, right? Because I like to feel okay with the fact that I don't like people. Okay, so this pushes against who you are. And so you're going to need help. And so think back to also what in John said, he didn't leave us here on our own. He left us a helper. We need a helper. Because you're not going to be able to do what I'm telling you just by mustering up enough strength. But it also is keystone to who we are as believers. Okay? All right. So, for Jesus, love isn't based on a feeling, it's based on an action. So the first thing is, so cut out the Hallmark scenes. You can't use that as your meaning for love. So what do we use as an example for love? Well, that's where Jesus says, well, look, watch me. I'll show you what it means to love. It's a choice that you make to seek the well-being of people other than yourself. That is what love is. And so I've had a chance to meet with some people who've been getting married recently. And it's good for me because a lot of times we go through a book. And this is really at the heart of marriage, let alone, I mean, so start there, right? Here's how hard this is. Like the person who was so significant to you, the one who mattered more than anyone, the one who you were willing to leave your parents, you know, a cozy little house for to go live in some little apartment in Muncie, the person that just number one in your life. Well, think of how hard it is to think of their well-being above your own. That's the person you like the most. So this is challenging. Right, and this is why in marriage, you know, young couples need assistance in this because this is super hard to do because it's constantly saying, I'm putting you first. Even when that person doesn't deserve it, that's where the challenge comes in. And this is where if you're not renewing your mind, just like we said for peace and hope and joy, if you're not renewing your mind, you're not going to do this. Like no one naturally puts their spouse in front of themselves. It just doesn't come by nature. It takes a commitment. And that's what's nice about getting married, because you're putting a stake down saying, I'm committing to this, even when I don't feel like it. The point I'm trying to make is, this is super hard for doing it with your spouse. Well, Jesus kicks it up 100 notches, and I'll say it in a minute. He says, do this with a person that is a complete idiot. Treat them that way. Okay, so this is very challenging, but it's at, again, the heart of who we should be. Jesus also taught that genuine love for God and others means seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return, especially for people in difficult situations. It says this reflects the very heartbeat of God. Think about what God did, or think about what Jesus did. He was consistently seeking after the outcast. And he was consistently offering them a role in God's kingdom. Right? These are the people that it makes me think of it, and I just thought of it right now. If you remember, 10, 15 years ago, that singer Lord had a song about never being royal, right? That is a horrible example. Okay, anyway, so this is for people who never thought they had a shot at having any significant role. And God's saying, you are significant, okay? And he was constantly reaching out to those people. And the other thing I would add to this is I'm personally prone to, you know, performance-based love, right? This is where it's easy for me to display love when you got your act together. Then I'm like, all right, great job, good work. But when you don't have your act together, that's when it's challenging to really display love. So, the ultimate standard of authentic love is how well you treat a person that you can't stand. And again, this is going to be challenging. If you look in Luke 6, Jesus says this, love your enemies. And by the way, though for them, the enemies were more than just people who posted things on Facebook you didn't like. These enemies would make your life a living hell by how they treated you, right? They would physically abuse you. They would do all kinds of things. So it's at a whole different level than what our form of being mistreated is. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. And by the way, if you're sitting here right now thinking, oh yeah, I wish those people I can't stand would read this and they would learn how to act. Okay, you've missed the point. It's you. It's you that needs to initiate this. Okay, this is not for anybody else. This is for you. This is for me. Okay, we can't wait for the other person. You know, like if you're sitting here and you're like, oh, if only the liberals would learn this. Okay, you've missed it. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, only the conservatives would get the, you've missed it. This is you, where you're at. Jesus never said, Jesus never said, get your act together, then I'll come close to you. Okay? He always initiated the moving closer. So we need to be there. This is the love that we're talking about. This is really challenging. We wouldn't be talking about Jesus today if he only said things like love your enemy. Let that sink in. This is the whole idea that talk is cheap. Okay, listen to this. We wouldn't be talking about Jesus today if he only said things like love your enemy. He actually lived this out. And we are called to live the same life. Okay? Again, this is my little Christmas present to you. Hopefully you're feeling completely uncomfortable and unworthy. Yeah, you are. Right? And this is where God says, you can only do this by drawing close to me. Let my spirit work in you. And just take baby steps. This doesn't mean that we start with, you know, the mass murderer and say, okay, I'm going to love him first. Just start with your spouse. So start baby steps and start moving in this direction. And let God continue to transform you. This type of love is in response to God's love for us. So that's one of the keys here. This isn't us creating it. It's responding to it. In fact, if you see in 1 John, this beautiful verse says, we love because he first loved us. This is that idea of looking back. I look back to see what Jesus has done. That then encourages me to love looking forward. Okay, look back first. Always look back to what God has done. This is part of the renewing your mind. This is what helps us look forward. So, I said Christmas is a time to reflect on this love that God has for us and how are we going to choose to respond to his love. So, when I was going through this, it made John 3:16 just seem a little different now. So John 3:16 says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son." Notice that he didn't like have these romantic feelings about humans. His form of love was serving the well-being of others. That's us. It was a choice that God made to restore that relationship. He initiated it. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Yeah, it's a, hopefully that's meaningful to you. Okay. So, love is part of who God is. In fact, I just noticed underneath the heater there, quotes this verse, Jeremiah 31:3. It says, "Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself." Again, you see, love is part of who God is. It has to be part of who we are. In fact, there's even challenges in 1 John where it basically says, if you're not loving, then you're not in Christ. Because this is part of who Christ is. It's part of who we have to be. So, I said, now more than ever, we need to choose to make it, make love part of who we are. And again, it's not waiting to start to feel, you know, warm fuzzies in your belly before you act. This is making a choice, a decision to love as God loved us. Okay, is there anything else? Okay, here's what I want to do. Use the Bibles that are in the pew. I want to read this to you. This a lot of times, this isn't going to work. I can't see that. I'm going to, can someone find 1 Corinthians 13 and tell me what page that's on? I would use that, but I just can't see it. So I need to use this. Okay, did you guys hear that? 959, did you say? 1 Corinthians 13. Unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but a lot of times this verse gets used in a wedding. And the problem with that is we start to think this is just for spouses, for each other. And that's not the case. This is for the body of Christ, the church, the believers. For those who have trusted in what God has done on the cross, as it said in the earlier verse, to make us right with God by believing in what Jesus has done. And so once we believe, we see that we get the Spirit that lives in us. And that Spirit is to help us do these things that God's calling us to do. So in light of what we've talked about with love, listen to this section. It says, "If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Yeah, so where does love rank according to God? It's at the top. Or I would say it's at the bottom that fuels us to do all that He desires us to do. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Christmas time when we, you know, it's hard to believe that we've gone through the Advent already. And as we sit here, I just pray that we're inspired by you, that we're moved by you to reach out to those who need love. I pray that we just become more and more known for serving others out of love, out of responding to what you've done. And again, why do we do any of this? It's ultimately to make much of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.